If you take your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 this morning. We'll be reading from there in just a few minutes. Mark 16. But before we do that, once you found, if you could look up here at the screen. There is a way of witnessing called the Romans Road. If you've been in church from the time you were young, you've probably heard of the Romans Road. way of taking verses primarily from the book of Romans and showing people their need of a Savior, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we often end with Romans 10:9, which is up here on the screen, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. let me read that again. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we continue. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, most of all, for the gift of your Son, your death on the cross in our behalf, in your resurrection from the grave that we celebrate today, that we serve a risen Savior, a living Savior, a Savior who has forgiven our sins, has prepared a place in heaven for us, and one day will come to take us home to that place. Lord, thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for the hope and joy that is ours in Christ Jesus today. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Today we are reminded, as we should be every Sunday, and for that matter every day as a child of God, that we serve a risen Savior. I don't really get as excited about Easter as maybe you think I would, and that's because I don't celebrate Christ's resurrection at Easter. I celebrate it every Sunday. Basically every day. Every day we have life in Christ is a day to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus is that risen Savior. His very name means the Lord is salvation. That's what Jesus means. He came to save his people from their what? From their sins. And he did so while hanging on the cross, taking the punishment for those sins. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. The Lord hath laid on him, that is Jesus, the iniquity or sin of us all. For he came to die for the sins of the world. And that he did on that cross. And when the price was paid, he cried, it is finished. And then he gave up the ghost, was taken down from the cross, and buried in a rich man's tomb. But that's not the end of it, is it? No. That's just the what? That's just the prelude to the new beginning, particularly for us who know Christ as Savior. Why? Because of his resurrection. His resurrection assures us that the price indeed has been paid by the sinless Son of God, that the wrath of God has been satisfied by him. That's what the resurrection does, among other things. We can be assured that God accepted Christ's payment because 3 days later, he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It says again in Isaiah 53:11, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Today, I can have joy and hope in Jesus Christ, forgiveness for my sins, because God's wrath and justice has been what? satisfied by Jesus Christ on the cross, who then rose again, who is seated at the right hand of the Father, where He is my advocate on high, where He is preparing a place for me. Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead, is able, therefore, to save, to keep, and one day resurrect all those who put their faith and trust in Him. And so the good news of the gospel is, as Paul points out in 1 Corinthians 15, not just incomplete without the resurrection, but wholly without meaning without the resurrection. The only way we know that Christ's payment was accepted, that He is the Son of God who died for us on the cross, is because He did rise from that grave. For if He did not, what could a dead, lifeless Jesus do for you? What assurance can you have of eternal life if the source of that life is still in the grave? But He's not in the grave. Now, I visited a tomb in Jerusalem that might be the tomb where Jesus was laid. But they don't know for sure. You know why? Because there is not a what? There is not a body. There's not a body to run a test on or DNA. Because Jesus rose again and went back to heaven. And since Jesus is risen from the grave, we can have full assurance in the defeat of death and hell and in the resurrection and glorification of every born-again believer in Christ Jesus. Let me read you a few verses just from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. They say this, beginning in verse 53, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible should have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, who Himself got victory over sin and death and hell and Satan by His death and His what? And His resurrection. We will not leave the resurrection out of our gospel message today, just as Mark chose plainly not to leave it out of his either. So let's read together, if you would, Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. I'm going to read 15 verses. So if you have a time to find it and follow along with me. "And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices, that they might come and anoint Him," that is, Jesus' body. "And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they had looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in long white garment, and they were afraid. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid Him. But go your way, tell His disciples and Peter that He goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see Him. And He said, as He said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with Him, and they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that He was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that He appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat for a meal, and upbraided them, rebuked them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he is risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news to every creature, to every person. This is the good news. Jesus Christ is what? Risen again and is alive forevermore, having made the way of salvation through his own sacrifice. All who put their faith in him have eternal life. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's take just a few minutes and look at some of the details of the resurrection here we read in the book of Mark. There were three women who came to visit the tomb early on Sunday morning at daybreak. These are the same three women who stayed near the cross as Jesus suffered and died there. These were Mary Magdalene, who seems to be sort of the leader of the group, whom Jesus had delivered previously from demon possession. Another was Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. This, it would appear, is the mother of James, the son of Alphaeus, or the less, as he is sometimes called. And then Salome, who is the wife of Zebedee, who is the mother of James and John, the fishermen. These are the three ladies that are mentioned here. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is not mentioned by name here, though she is mentioned in John as being at the foot of Jesus' cross during his crucifixion. It's important to note that in a day, that is when the Bible was written, that in a day when women were often overlooked, they were not overlooked by who? They were not overlooked by Jesus or his disciples, who included them often as both people to whom Jesus ministered and actually people who ministered to Jesus. You don't really read about the disciples ministering much to Jesus, but there's a few places in the Gospels where you read about women ministering to him. Mary and Martha and others. They have an important role in the ministry of Jesus. Some of them were in the upper room on the day of Pentecost that we spoke about in Sunday school. And they went forth as witnesses for Jesus Christ, the same as everyone else. Praise God, Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world, men and women, and he calls us all in service to him. Then these women could not bring their spices when Jesus was buried. They had burial spices that they used to sort of embalm, not the way Egyptians did, but sort of embalm the body, make it smell not so bad at the time of burial. But they couldn't do that because of the haste with which they took Jesus' body off the cross and put him in Joseph's tomb, because it was nearing the time of the Sabbath. And so they were in a hurry, and the women could not apply their spices then. So they came early on Sunday morning there to the tomb. They wondered as they approached the tomb how they were going to roll the large stone from the entrance. They may have been unaware there was a Roman guard posted there, I don't know. But they thought to themselves, how are we going to roll that huge stone away to get to the body? The site, the grave that you visit when you're in Israel, or one of them that you visit, called the Garden Tomb, is a fairly large opening, large enough for you have to bend down just a little bit to get in it. And there's a large stone to one side. They use these stones to roll in front of the grave in order to close it off. Grave usually wasn't used by just one person. If you were rich enough, well enough off in society to have a tomb like in a cave type situation. They would take a body, they would put it on a slab that was made for that inside the tomb. They would come back weeks, months later. They would take the bones then and they would put them in a bin that was under the slab. And then when the next family member died, they would be put in the tomb, and the same process was carried on time and time again. And so this was the type of tomb that Jesus was buried in, which was highly unusual for someone who was crucified. But as Isaiah told us in Isaiah 53, he was buried with the rich. And despite his crucifixion, he wasn't thrown in a common grave. He was put in Joseph Arimathea's tomb, who loaned it to Jesus. But the women wondered how they were going to roll the stone away. But when they got there, they found that was a moot point, did they not? Because it was already rolled away. You may be here today and wondering how you are going to face another day. Pain or depression or frustration or addiction. Or you fill in the blank. You may be wondering if Christ, His Word, and His church today have the answer for you. You may be wondering yourself if Christ is alive and powerful and able to save you and change your life and eternity. Well, we are here today to tell you that you have come to the right place. We have come to tell you unequivocally and unashamedly and without any doubt that our Savior is risen from the dead. His body was not in that tomb, as we will see. And that Savior who died and rose again can help you, can deliver you, save you. You have come to the right place. That place is not Missouri Avenue Baptist Church so much as it is to Jesus Christ. We can't save you today, but He can. And we're glad you have come so that we could tell you about Him. So when they got to the tomb, they found the stone was rolled away, and who was inside? An angel appeared as a young man with long white garment. In another gospel, it tells us there were actually two, but only this one spoke. What did he tell him? He said, Jesus' body, you can see for yourself, isn't what? It isn't here. Why? Because he's risen from the dead. Do you think the angel rolled the stone away so Jesus could get out? Or do you think the angel rolled the stone away so Mary and Salome could see in? I think it's the latter. Jesus didn't have to have somebody roll that stone away for him to come out. I think they rolled that stone away so others could see in. You know, the Lord has given us His Spirit, given us His Word, given us the gospel so that we might be able to what? So that we might be able to see in today. See into His Word. See into His heart. Know that He is a risen Savior, a loving Savior, a willing Savior. And so I pray He rolls away any blindness or misunderstanding that may be clouding your vision today, that you might see Him for who He really is. The body wasn't there. The angel further explained Christ was headed before them into Galilee, where He would appear before His disciples. You know, Jesus had not forgotten His disciples. He hasn't forgotten you either. Have you forgotten Him, though? The Bible says He came unto His own, and His own what? Received Him not. They were all excited, anticipating the coming of the Messiah. And when He came, they didn't recognize Him. When He came, they yelled out, "Crucify Him." And when He rose from the dead, they wanted to have nothing to do with Him or His disciples who told them the good news. I hope that's not you today. He loves you. He died for you. He rose again. He's in heaven pleading with you. Would you come? The women did not immediately tell anyone what they had seen or heard, but they straightway went to the disciples to tell them. Not long after, the other Gospels tell us Peter and John came running to the tomb, not because they were entirely convinced Jesus had risen from the dead. They wanted to see it for themselves, what the case was. And they found a very similar situation there when they came. What they did not find was a body. They found grave clothes neatly laying there because Jesus didn't need those anymore. And then Jesus appeared unto them. He died, he rose again, and he appeared unto them. You see, we don't believe in a risen Savior just because the tomb was empty. We believe in a risen Savior because that risen Savior showed himself to many different people after his resurrection from the grave. And he showed himself to me. You say, so Pastor, you saw Jesus. Not physically, but with eyes of what? With eyes of faith. I was 9 years old. I was 9 years old when God opened my eyes that I could look into that empty tomb and that one day I would see Jesus, and one day I will see him as he is. I will see him with new eyes that he has given me. But today I see him with eyes of faith. When I was 9, I sat in a service and God opened up my heart and I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I hope you have done the same. Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene. At first, she thought he was the gardener. She thought he was the gardener. Just reminds us the humility of our Savior. He appears to Mary, and he came as a servant to die for the sins of the world. But he opened up her eyes to see who he really was. And so she worshiped and praised his name. She went to tell his other disciples, but they did not initially believe. He appeared to 2 disciples. In another gospel, it tells us more about them, of a painting in the hallway on the back in the foyer, and it's the painting called The Road to Emmaus. And I'm not much into paintings and that sort of thing, but I found that one in a Christian bookstore that was closing down, and it's one of my favorite paintings. And in it you have Jesus walking along a dirt path back to a town called Emmaus, 2 disciples with him, and he was talking with them and showing them all about how the Savior must die for the sins of the world and rise again. And they didn't even recognize him till they got to the place they were going, and then he opened their eyes to see who he really was. Then he appeared unto all his disciples, 11 at first and then Thomas later, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and not believing right away that he had risen as he told them he would. You see, this shouldn't have caught them by surprise. Several times in the Gospels, Jesus said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be arrested, mistreated, crucified, and then I'm going to what? Rise again. But his disciples didn't want to hear the I'm going to be arrested and I'm going to be crucified part. So I think they sort of put their hands over their ears. I don't want to hear that. And they didn't hear the last part. I'm going to what? I'm going to rise from the dead. He told them, and he did just as he told them. Jesus is risen from the dead, body and all, for there was no body to be found in the tomb, only the grave cloth he had left behind. You, like his disciples, may come in this morning to church on this resurrection day, unsure about Jesus Christ, but I'm here to tell you and show you from God's word, he indeed is risen and he is alive. The empty tomb testifies to it. The enduring church of Jesus Christ testifies to it. If you know Christ, you testify and I testify. We are his what? His witnesses. He saved us, changed us, and made us his what? His children. Praise the Lord. The Word of God testifies to it, and the 500 plus who saw Him after His resurrection testify to the risen Savior. The Holy Spirit also testifies to our risen Savior. Because when Jesus Christ went back to heaven, as we learn in Sunday school, He sent who? The Holy Spirit. If you know Christ as Savior, He lives inside your heart and assures you every day that you serve a risen, living Savior. And one day every eye shall see, and one day every knee shall bow before Jesus Christ as Lord. And yes, this same Jesus who is alive and well today offers salvation to you also. Pardon for sin and eternal life to all those who repent and place their trust in Him. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For he that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. Is He talking to you? Did He die for you? Did He rise again for you? Is He seated in heaven pleading with you today to come to Him? But you must believe. You must believe. It isn't enough that He died and rose again. It isn't enough that I believe. You must believe. 1 Corinthians 15 again. If you want to turn there, I'm just going to read the first few verses. In this passage, Paul explains the gospel. What is the gospel? What is the good news? Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, and then of the 12. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, He was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, He was seen of me also. So on the road to Damascus, as one born out of due time. Paul knew of what he spoke because he saw Christ on the road that day. The risen Savior glorified in heaven. He didn't see Him for long, because the moment he looked up to see Christ, the glory of God blinded his what? Blinded his eyes. His eyes, which were days later, opened. And he began his ministry. The persecutor of Christians became the witness for Jesus Christ. What is the good news? The good news is this. Jesus Christ died for our sins, according to as the Scriptures foretold. He was buried and He rose again on the third day, as the Scriptures foretold. And one day He's coming back to take His children home. Are you one of His children? As many as received Him, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Will you dare to put your trust in the risen Son of God and Savior of mankind today? Or will you choose to walk away? That choice is yours. It is yours. He will not force you. He will not do it for you. You must choose. You must put your faith in Him. The invitation you hear today will not be forever. You could meet God before this day is out. What then will you have to say? Will you heed the call before it's too late? This same Jesus is coming again. And He's either coming to reward you and take you home who know Him as Savior, or He's coming to execute judgment and justice upon the unbelieving. When He comes back for you, which will it be? that may all depend upon your choice today. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten, risen Son of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that we could be here to be reminded today that we serve a risen Savior. And Lord, to share with others that have come to join us what you did for them and what you have to offer them in eternal life and forgiveness for all their sins, what you bore on the cross in order to buy them that precious gift that you offer today, if they will but receive it by faith. And we pray, Lord, if there's one here today that is yet to trust Jesus Christ as Lord, that they would come as we sing this hymn of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.